So I get to share with us this morning. I'm filling in for Ron as he is still in travel, coming back. And so looking forward to that with us. We're going to be digging into Psalm 23, just a great psalm this morning. And I would love if you'd want to find it in your Bible in front of you, because we really are just going to sit in those six verses this morning. And so you can open that. The verses will be on the screen behind us. But we're going to be digging into Psalm 23 this morning. Now, something just in reinforcing some things that I'm going to be sharing from, I'll be gleaning a bit out of the Gospel of John, out of John 10, when it's really talking about the Good Shepherd there in Christ, because there's a lot of significance of now since Christ and the things that have been brought to us through that work, through his death, his resurrection, his life with us there. And so you'll hear me kind of mention and go into John 10 occasionally through the passage this morning. And that's just to help just glean off of this really good shepherd we have in our life. Now, to set up this psalm this morning, we are going to be talking about just a shepherd, a shepherd's heart. What's the life of a shepherd? Because we're seeing right away in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And so just to give us a little background, because David wrote this psalm, and David wrote many of the psalms that we read. Psalms are a fun book to read and be in. It's interesting because you'll get these like ups and downs as you read them sometimes, where there's like praise and thanks and struggle, and right, you know. But I love it because the psalms often just show the humanity of people in the Bible. I think sometimes we can stick a person like David like way up there on the Hall of Fame, and he is, and he's done amazing things, but to realize how human he was. And so I want to remind us of who David was a bit. I mean, this is a man who killed Goliath at a young age, came into the scene right there off of his little shepherding field to come and check with the brothers at the war up there and this standoff with Goliath. He killed Goliath. That was a huge landmark in his life. He was made king, as we're aware of. He succeeded in unimaginable ways. Just think about the victories he had in his battles that he would have. The Lord was just with him. You know, the Lord had really anointed him to be the king coming after Saul. So you can just see success on those victories so often in his life. Yet, you know, some of the lows, you know, extreme lows in his life, you know, Saul tried to kill him a good portion of that time while he was waiting to be truly king. He was running often for his life from Saul. You know, he lost a child in childbirth. And again, that was due to some sin areas in his life. His son even tried to kill him. You know, interesting family dynamics as you just follow the life of David. You know, his son, even while David was king, you know, tried to take him out and become king himself. We know he's a man after God's own heart, right? So just a guy who wanted to live fully for God and trust God. And yet, you know, adultery, you know, the sin with Bathsheba. I mean, even to the extent that he had her husband killed, you know, out on the battlefield so that he could have her. So some low lows again there. You know, he had a great friendship, and there's just a neat story just to follow their life and just how to have know what good friendship is like. And yet, also, one who often felt, you know, not highly held in regard by others. You know, maybe like even when he came to the battlefield with Goliath, remember, like, what are you doing here? Like, you should be back on your field, you know. And he's like, why are you guys letting Goliath have his way here, you know? And so, you know, even when the sons were brought right before, you know, the prophet to see who was going to be chosen king, David wasn't even there, right? Because he probably, oh, he's just, you know, it's just David. He's out in the field, right? You know, or even think about when he was bringing the Ark of the Covenant back into the city, dancing and praising God, not wearing too many clothes, right? And yet his wife looked out with much, you know, disdain over him of just like, you know, just shamed to be associated with how he was presenting himself. And so often, you know, here's a man who knew experiences of life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, so to speak, that you could talk about. So again, I bring us into that to understand as we go into a psalm like this, to understand the humanity of the people that lived with God, that you too like David, through whatever aspects of life that you're facing, can come to know a God like this that he is seeking and finding and being directed by and be moved by God and succeed in ways unimaginable because God is going to move on his life as he did so much in David's life. So let's look at Psalm 23. I'm calling this passage this morning, His Leading and Our Following. And we're going to dig into that this morning by just looking at, again, the leading of the shepherd and then our following as the sheep that he is leading. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen on that. Verse 1 there, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Just to look at that first half, the first verse, the Lord is my shepherd. There's so many names of God to us. Creator, for instance. When we think of God as creator, we look out at his creation, the stars, the oceans, the wildlife, the land, and we worship God as creator, a name we give to God for that. And it's, you know, so many names. God as a provider, God as a healer, God as a comforter, God as a sustainer of life, right? The first and the last, beginning and the end, eternal. There's so many things we attribute to God and who he is, and therefore there's names that come with God. Remember how he even referred to himself, I am, you know, was a name that he gave to Moses there on the mountain. And again, names are important. How you associate with a name is important. Creator, often, like I said, you know, when we're thinking about creation, is wonderful and awesome because we're seeing his handiwork, we're acknowledging his detail he put into us in his creation. And yet often sometimes the danger with thinking of him as creator is we can keep God fairly distant above the universes and kind of out there right above everything and maybe not as close and intimate through that name of creator. And yet a name given to us this morning is wonderful. This idea of shepherd, again, so much can come through the meaning of shepherd, as we will see this morning, of what a shepherd does. And here, the Lord is my shepherd. And so we're seeing a name that we can relate to with God here in the idea of a shepherd. And what I like about shepherd, as I was looking into even just the tasks of shepherd, is so many of the names of God really come into even just what a shepherd is. You know, a shepherd protects and guides and watches, you know, over the flock. He feeds the flock. You know, he comforts. And so often we can see how we know God in those ways, a comforter, a healer, a guider, a one who watches over, one who fights for us. And so here we're going to unpack that this morning of what it really means to have the Lord is my shepherd. And the second part of that verse says that I shall not want, or a good way to think of that is I'm just not going to have any need. I have everything I have is in him. He is going to take care of me. I'm not just in a constant want or need of things because the Lord is my shepherd. I was talking with Gail a little bit this week, and it was funny. She was bringing up Robert Morris, who's a great teacher we love to listen to at times here, and he's a pastor at Gateway in Texas. And he was struggling with some sleep one night, and often what he does is like, you know, if he's just anxious about things, or he was sharing how he would just, he just prays scripture. He'll just start praying scripture. And so this, he was just anxious at this one moment. And so he just started, he's like, I'm just going to start praying through Psalm 23. And so he just starts and he got as far as the Lord is my shepherd. And he goes, the Lord is my shepherd. He kept just settling right in there on the Lord. So now, not only are we talking about what a shepherd is and the shepherd does, of just someone who's with you and guiding you and carrying you, but who is this shepherd? And that first phrase there, the Lord. And so therefore, we're talking about the creator of all things. We are talking about the one who has every ability and mighty power to move in your circumstances. We are talking about the one who can provide for any need. I mean, he's the one that made the streams that he's leading the sheep to drink from, right? You know, this is the Lord that is shepherding here. And so he was just sharing how, again, just all of a sudden, it's like I couldn't even get past that because it already just reminded me of what anxiety do I need to have right now? The Lord is here. The Lord is with me. He's leading. He's guiding. He's going to speak. He's going to comfort. He's going to reassure, right? So this is a beautiful start to the psalm. I was doing a study on Wednesday nights, and we're still in this series, but we're looking at kind of the same idea of names of God, but looking at it as it pertains to Jesus himself, because Jesus and God are one, yet are different in the Trinity, but Emmanuel is a name given to Jesus, as we know in Christmas time, which means God with us. And we were just unpacking this idea of just when Jesus came, he was fully God and fully man. So what did that really mean when he was walking in our midst with us? He was bringing the fullness of God to reveal the nature of God, to reveal the power of God, the healing of God, the care of God into our life through the person of Jesus Christ. Because he was fully man. He walked, he experienced the things we do. But don't discount, don't forget that channel was open through Jesus to bring the fullness of who God is. So again, this Lord is my shepherd that I shall not want. I shall not be in want because of who this is that's shepherding me. This is what we're entering into this morning in Psalm 23. And so then again, shepherding. As we get into verse 2 here, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. A shepherd in these days would probably have much more barren lands than probably some of what we might be used to. There was a lot more like deserty areas, and they would have to often take the sheep at times and get them to pasture, get them to streams, to rest, to, you know, refit, so to speak, to feed them, let them get nourished, okay? Because otherwise the terrain would be really difficult to extend that for long periods of time. And this isn't something that they would just do one time. You know, they would then go back out and move the sheep around, and they come back to pasture and to rest and to streams. And for us this morning to realize, again, in just the ways that shepherds do this, our shepherd wants to lead us to green pastures and to streams. He wants to lead us in places of rest because you need it. Whether you think so or not, you need that. I love even how it said he makes me lie down in green pastures. I was looking at the New Living. It says he lets me rest in green pastures. I was thinking about both of those ideas. The shepherd would guide the sheep. They're not going where they're supposed to go. He would just take a staff and like, no, you need to come over here. You're going where you're not supposed to go. And so he would just literally make them, you got to come and rest over here. You got to come and feed. You got to come and enjoy what I have for you here. You know, I also like that New Living that he lets. You know, I think in our culture these days, sometimes you almost don't even feel like you have an option to take a break sometimes at work, right? Like, I just got so much to do. Like, you know, what breaks are good to have even in a work, like a lunch break or just a mid-morning break or an afternoon break to just rest. A transition for a moment just to, again, maybe even it's a time just to even reconnect with God in prayer and just a releasing of things and just a, because otherwise it is a relentless world we live in, just stifling you with things to do and constant barrage of just information coming at you. And it's just exhausting unless you're resting, you know, unless you're finding restful places. So I think for us this morning, one of the key aspects here of the Lord as our shepherd and what he is leading us, because again, the shepherd leads. So what is he leading us in this morning? One of those things is to lead us to pasture, to lead us to restful places. And so what are those for you? Where are you finding peace these days? Where are you finding moments of stillness? Or are you? Because our good shepherd wants to lead you there. You need it. And this isn't something you just get maybe once a week in a Sabbath. That is good and appropriate. He's designed that. But do you realize you need that even in your daily walking, you need some rhythm a little bit. You can't just run a crazy pace every day, all day long. It's just not healthy for us. And the shepherd knows that. And so for us to consider, how are we finding that? We try to pack it sometimes and find it in vacation, like vacation's the answer, and I'll just, you know, right? And then we get, so often we come back, it's like, I need a vacation for my vacation, right? Because we go with that same kind of mentality where, you know, we're just trying to get things done or just find rest, or I'm just going to force these things to happen, rather than trusting and letting the shepherd lead us into what that needs to look like. And he's going to show you. He's going to show you what that is. So this morning, one of those first things that we need to consider is he's leading us into restful, still, peaceful places to give us a break. Then back into some working and some walking and doing, okay. Verse 3 there says, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And again, I love that. You just see, restores my soul. I mean, what's the condition that you feel like your soul is in even this morning? Does your soul need some restoring? Is your heart of hearts and just your inner life right now in a place where you're finding some joy and some life of God and just some, you know, restoration places going on there where there's healing? And this is the idea of the good shepherd, of the Lord as our shepherd. He has set out a plan for the beginning of time, and this came through the work of Jesus Christ and his death and his resurrection, was to restore all things to himself, because he realizes sin and the impact of that on our lives. Yeah, he absolutely realizes the separation that that brings and the bondage that that puts us in, the wear and tear that that has in worry and anxiety and fear, you know, all these things that just take, they just squelch your heart, right? Depression, hopelessness, you know, we can go down a list of the effects of sin. And his desire as a shepherd of us is to restore that. He doesn't want to leave you in a state like that. I mean, a shepherd of a sheep is going to look and pay attention. If there's a sheep that's struggling, needs some healing, needs some care, maybe like tripped on a rock and injured itself, he's going to go and tend to the sheep. So he is well aware of the condition of your heart, the things that you're struggling with right now, and he wants to tend to that as a good shepherd to bring restoration there. Now, it's really neat here because it says he leads me in paths of righteousness. Again, a shepherd is leading. And where is he leading us to? Is a path of righteousness. Now, we are all too aware of the things of our sin nature and sin life. We, for Christ, we just kind of lived in the things that we do, and a lot of selfish-focused things often. Well, Jesus, through his work and death on the cross and taking that sin upon him, literally absorbing those things of our life that were separating us from him, and therefore he then gave us his righteousness. It's a crazy exchange. It does not make sense, but this is the crazy love of God. This is the unconditional love. He gave us righteousness. So in other words, he literally leads. He places us, takes our life and goes, boom, I'm placing you on a path of righteousness with me, and you follow me now, and I'm just going to leave you in righteous living, right living with God. I'm going to show you what that looks like. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to keep you from falling back into those traps that, you know, so often, like, isn't that frustrating with sin? It's like we just fall back into the same thing. It's like the dog returning to his vomit. It doesn't make any sense, you know. But this is the desire of a good shepherd for us here in the Lord, is that he is going to lead us and guide us to stay in this path of righteousness. Okay, now he began that work again through the person of Jesus Christ to complete this work that he set out to do, to bring his people back to himself and restore. Okay, because sin took that from us, that connection with God. He placed a new heart in you to make this possible. Because that heart of, you know, coldness and stone and just, you know, shut off and this rebellious heart of God, he came in and replaced that with a good heart, it says. A good heart, one that's going to long for the things like David, a man after God's own heart, one that's just going to long for the things of God so that I want to stay on this path of righteousness. I actually recognize the goodness of God, and I want it. I want to claim the things he wants over my life. And so he set us on that path through that amazing work. You know, it's not this like begrudging obedience or this white-knuckle discipline thing where I just got to like, I got to do this checklist of things to stay on this path. It's not the desire God wants for us. He wants us to respond out of just this joyful place of a response to the fact that he rescued me from a pit of despair, right? If sheep were left on their own, they'd just get themselves in all kinds of trouble. I mean, obviously, they'd probably get eaten by predators pretty quickly and other things. I mean, we're just left to our own demise. We're doomed. But Christ came at just the right time to rescue us from that, right? And so that he protects his sheep. He saves the sheep. And he'll go after the one that's lost, right? That's a great story. You know, leaves the 99, goes after the one. Our response of our heart, hopefully, this morning in this understanding of how he's going to restore us and lead us in the path of righteousness is just to respond out of the joy of being rescued. That's going to fuel obedience in you to stay on that path because you're responding to the goodness of God, and the protection of God, the wisdom and the guidance of God. You know, three times in John 10:10, it says he lays down his life for his sheep. He lays down his life for his sheep. He lays down his life for his sheep. This is the good shepherd referred to in the gospel there. The shepherd does that for the sheep. Protects. He puts his life on the line for the sheep. And Jesus did that in every way to rescue us and will continue to do that. He will put his life on the line for you. That is the beauty of the gospel. Now, the last part of that verse is really critical. For his name's sake. You know, it's about God's glory, not mine. It's about his goodness, not mine. His strength, not mine. I mean, to think about this for a second, if it was up to my goodness, like I have to be, you know, so good then in order to receive the goodness of God, then what if I wasn't good enough? Do I not get to receive the goodness of God? Does that just cut me off then of that? But that's not what we see here. This path of righteousness is a plan that God put in motion. This is for his glory, his name's sake, his work, his power at work here. This is not of us, right? But this is of God. So in my weakness, I am actually still strong in the Lord. Because this is the Lord's strength. In my frailty, he's still powerful. It's not dependent on my power. It's his power at work within me. You know, in my lack of faith at times when I'm doubting, right, or falling a little short in that, he's still faithful. He's moving. You know, he hasn't stopped working in that. You know, it's so interesting how we can build so much about the Bible around us, like it's about me, you know. No, it's about God. Don't ever forget that. He is the one that we need all the time, that we sang about this morning, who is putting these things in motion. So his namesake becomes an anchor in this. Just, you know, the good shepherd leads us to still waters, not because I deserve it, but because he's good. It's his heart for me. The good shepherd leads me to green pastures, not because I'm worthy, but because he's generous to me. And I need that. You know, these things lift my eyes up onto his glory and off of my, you know, frailty. It's onto his power and off of my weaknesses. This stirs, again, joy in my heart because he's what I'm not. And now that I have him, I have everything, again, that I need. I'm not in want, right? So it's just this process through this morning. Look at verse 4 there. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You know, I love the Bible. It doesn't lie to us. And here, you know, we're coming off of some incredible truths of the fact that we just have the God and creator of all things shepherding us, coming very personally into our lives, leading, guiding, comforting, protecting, providing, right? Just shepherding into our life. He's leading us to calm and quiet places, restful places. He's restoring us, and he has placed me in a path of righteousness through the work that he has covered over my sin, over my life. Beautiful themes right off the bat in Psalm 23. And yet it says, I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. This isn't like possibility for you. It's saying, even though I walk, preparation here, a part of life is struggles, are, you know, challenges, are hardships, hopelessness, maybe dark night of the soul stuff, we're really struggling. This is very much a part of life. To ignore that is to really miss an aspect of God shepherding over us. He really wants you to relate to this idea. This is a part of life. You're going to go through this, but you're not stuck. Catch that. I will not fear. Because so often, isn't that the reality, is we just fear in these circumstances. As soon as these type of situations, fear, anxiety, worry, like all come up to the surface. He's saying here, I will not, because God is with me, right? Here's this idea. And I'm going to come back to this idea at the very end of this morning just to stamp on this. But God is with us, so I need not fear this valley of the shadow of death. Now, shadow of death, I mean, are we talking about death itself or a shadow of it, meaning just things that, you know, almost feel like death to us? Either way, God is with you. I mean, if you were really facing death, God is with you through this valley. He is through it in every circumstance of our life. And here for us this morning, you know, I want to just consider an example, for instance. You know, if you were to believe that if you had enough money, for instance, this would be what brings satisfaction to my soul. Like, this would be, you know, what I need to do. What happens in the valley of the shadow of death when you can't buy your way out? Just doesn't seem like you have enough money to get yourself out of that. Well, the trust and confidence and wealth vanishes. It starts going away. And then there you are, all by yourself. No one to console you, comfort you. It's a hard place to be. I don't know, maybe it's you know, like you're putting a trust in, you know, validation. I do this, or I'm going to get these raises, or I'm going to get this promotion, you know, and so you bank your life on that pursuit, right? And when that promotion doesn't come, you know, or the salary increases don't come, you know, that trust in that process starts fading, and then you're left there again feeling very alone. The reality here to us is that we are not. I will not fear, because God is with us. His rod and staff comfort us. So the beauty here to us is he will never leave you nor forsake you. This is a reminder of, again, the good heart of the shepherd here in the Lord over us, is that we can approach these valleys, okay, and have a preparedness to have help going through it. He's going to walk right with us in it, lead us, and we're going to come through the valley. We're actually going to get through it and come out on the other side, because God is with us. His rod and staff protect us. Again, just, you know, thinking about those instruments for the shepherd. I mean, he can use those to guide and steer, you know, the staff, like, come back here, you know. Don't go jumping off that cliff right now. You really need to depend on me. This is really important right now that you pray more than you ever have before. I'm talking to you. Just hang in there. Trust me in this. Trust me in this. Okay, a rod even. You know, there's predators that are going to try to come and take the sheep. You would have to, like, use those to defend and to whack off. Isn't it cool to think about God as a warrior for you, fighting battles for you? When we're pressing against issues that just really kind of intimidating to think about, how am I even going to get through that? He's going to go through that with us. He's going to fight through that with us. He's not leaving you out to yourself to try to fend off all these forces coming at you. No, we have God's power, God's strength to get us through that. So it's very encouraging. Look at this next verse. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I was looking up a couple different commentaries and things on this. I was always fascinated by this verse. It's very interesting, in the presence of my enemies. But I was thinking of, again, just in the terms of a shepherd, again, this context we're sitting in here, and David knows about shepherding. That's why he's writing this way. He knows the tasks of a shepherd. And I was thinking, you know, he's preparing a table for his sheep here to eat and feast. Well, a shepherd would go into a field and would make sure there's not poisonous plants there that the sheep are going to eat. That will not be good for the sheep. So he's going to either clear those out or he's going to steer them to where that is not, you know, maybe removing some rocks and things that they might trip or hurt themselves on. And this idea of just a preparation for them to come in and feast in his presence, in the presence of that shepherd, you know, just come and feast in this place with me. It's safe. It's secure. It's good for you. And yet there is enemies around still. I mean, his shepherd still has to protect and watch out so that situation doesn't change. So just the idea of even just this being in the presence of God, that he wants to honor you in a way of just feasting and enjoying the goodness of God in his presence. I think often when we think of the table being prepared for us, right, we think of eternity, which is such an awesome picture, sitting at that wedding feast of the Lamb and just partaking in the goodness of God and his fullness he has for us. This is the heart of the Lord for us. He wants to prepare a table for you in the presence even of your enemies. I even love, kind of, I was thinking, I don't know, the Lord has just kind of been sticking this on my heart. It's just, he's not ashamed of you. You know, kind of that prodigal son story, it's amazing. Prodigal son just, you know, wasted the things of his life. Really didn't appreciate the goodness that he really had under the Father. The Father was just waiting for him so expectantly to come back. He threw a feast for him, like in a heartbeat, when he came back. When, you know, maybe others are like, why in the heck could he even deserve it? Why is he doesn't deserve a feast, seriously. And I was thinking about this idea of just even in the presence of my enemies, like, the Lord is glad to honor right there in front of them who thinks, like, you know, oh, look at their sin or whatever. They're not even, no, like, the Lord's like, come and feast with me, man, brother, daughter. I love you so much. And I would love to even flirt that in front of the enemies so that they can even see my goodness for my people, my heart for them, right? I don't know. I've been going down that road a little bit this week, just thinking about that idea as well, just God's heart. But again, he's well aware of our enemies, but he's not waiting to bring you goodness and feasting in the Lord. We need his presence. We need that now. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. When I was just researching again, shepherding, flies, gnats, mosquitoes, you know, often around, wildlife can be pestering. They just get on you. It would really bug the sheep. And often, you know, the sheep would even try to run their heads into rocks to try to, like, get the flies, you know, like, and then they would start wounding themselves because they're just being irritated by this. Well, I found out that oil was often used to, it was actually a repellent. Like we spray bug repellent on these days. It was also a repellent to help keep those away. But also oil has really cool healing elements to it. As we know, oils can be used for lots of different usages. You know, it can be used for that comforting and healing. And the shepherd would often use that for the sheep as well. Not just the repellent to keep those forces away. And then as we know in Old Testament, often oil was used for setting things apart, both physical things, but even setting us apart. You know, we know that, you know, you can go into a house, anoint your house and sanctify it and set it apart for the Lord. It's so awesome to even see the symbolism of just oil in the scriptures. But here this morning, just to kind of stay in this context of just, you know, anointing my head with oil, the Lord wants to care for me, protect me from the forces around me, like he would protect the sheep from these forces that would come and to bring disease on them or to bring suffering on them. And so he would, you know, anoint them to protect them and to heal and to comfort them. The Lord wants to do that over me. And he will do that over me. He anoints my head with oil and my cup overflows. That phrase, my cup overflows, like just fullness of God that's coming to me. I just want to read a few passages here just to kind of exhibit that. John 10:10, because of our shepherd, we have an abundant life, this life to the full, it says there in John 10. And 2 Peter 1:3, because of the shepherd, God has given us everything we need for living this godly life. Everything we need. Ephesians 1:3, through our shepherd, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Philippians 4:19, because of the shepherd, God supplies all of our needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. You know, Romans 10:12 says, because of our shepherd, we serve a God who gives generously to all who call on him. Philippians 4:7, because of our shepherd, we can experience peace that is completely beyond our understanding. Just this like extravagance of God and his love. And again, this comes to us through the channel of Jesus Christ, what he's done. This stuff now becomes available because he's that good shepherd over us. So the Lord is our shepherd. One of the things he's bringing is just a cup that overflows with the riches and the goodness and the supply and the abilities of God to make it through this life. And not just getting through the life, barely, no. With an abundance, with a fullness, with a full heart and a full life, because he does not hold back that from us. He extends all of that to us. As we bring this study, or this sermon to a close this morning, one of the main themes that I was thinking about in the scriptures, if you just kind of take the scriptures and you really just boil them down into like, you know, key themes. I know love is an awesome theme you can see in the scriptures. And just one of the ones is God with us. Just, you know, think with me for a second here. In the beginning, you know, he was there walking and talking with us in the garden. Like before the fall, like there was oneness with God, right? Him and his creation were interacting with each other. So beautiful there. When God pulled his people out of Egypt, out of that bondage, right? He was with them cloud by day, fire by night, right? Just him and his people. He was with them. He set up his tabernacle and their encampment, right? You know, and that was a big part of his presence with them, that they would honor and celebrate and understand this oneness that they had with God. You know, you have that in how the Holy Spirit came and filled the temple in Jerusalem, which is in the middle of their city there, the temple. And that was a big deal when the Holy Spirit fell down. And it was God's presence with them. You know, we have the Emmanuel incarnation, God with us through the person of Jesus Christ. Literally in flesh, walking again with us, much like in the garden. God just walking with his people, being with them, showing them who he is and what he's doing. You know, he said, when I go, Jesus said, I will go, but I'm not leaving you. I will send you the Holy Spirit, right, at Pentecost. And he gave us the Holy Spirit, who is in us now. And again, this is God with us in this intimacy that through the work of the Spirit. And again, he's going to come, right, in his return. Once again, and this is beautiful because he's going to dwell with us and we will dwell with him. And this isn't by now just faith anymore. This is by sight. Like, how cool is that going to be? Just to literally be in sight of him and walking in that beautiful oneness with him. David's experience and view on this is kind of coming into view of that in verse 6. It was out Psalm 23 this morning. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy. I love this. Are following him all the days of his life. It's like it's chasing us down every day. Today, goodness of God and the mercy of God is chasing you down. It is going to find you today because that is God's shepherding heart for you. His goodness. Is mercy. And we need mercy, don't we? It's like mercy. We need it. But it will find you each day as you allow the shepherding of your heart from the Lord to come to you. Because this is what the shepherd is doing here in Psalm 23. Is he's finding it in the Lord every day. Now again, this goodness and mercy isn't earned. Okay? It's not like I have to do so much in order to receive this goodness and mercy. Back to that key verse about paths of righteousness. This is a work Jesus set in place, and therefore goodness and mercy can come to you. There is a way. It is opened to you, and we can receive the goodness and the mercy because of the finished work of Christ. So let it find you today. Experience the goodness and the mercy of God. And that second part of that at the end there says, "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And again, David just very much experiencing the presence of God in his life, especially when a good portion of his life is being chased and living in caves and running all the time. He was constantly depending on God's leading, guiding, protecting. Otherwise, his life was doomed. I mean, even when he was in the presence of Saul and he would get like a spear thrown at him, right? You know, I mean, his life was on the line a lot of times. But being in the presence of God, David here has become convinced there is no life outside of him. That there's nothing better, there's no fuller life available than in the care of the shepherd. His Lord as a shepherd. There's no greater care for me. This is where life is at. If I have his presence, I am good. If I can see him, I am good. Doesn't mean my circumstances are changing sometimes, but I have him, and so I am good. Because he's going to take me through that valley. I can get through the valley. He's guiding me through it, just like the shepherd guides the sheep through that. The psalmist, you know, again, David in Psalm 27:4 says, "One thing have I asked, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Again, you just see that passion of his, the focus, the longing to seek and to see God, right? And to be in his presence. You know, his life was a train wreck in many ways. I mean, he had so many battles and things and ups and downs, right? But man, he knew what it was like to be close to God or drifting from that presence. And he was all well aware of that. That's why I love Psalm when he gets into that real heart repentantness, when he's like, "I have sinned against you and you alone, God." He owns up. He's like, "My life is sucking dry if I go down this road. I need to put myself back on the mercy seat of God in his presence, in oneness with him, in obedience," right? David knew this relationship between what it means to be in and out of the presence of God. So it's the same with us. Consider your circumstances, even right now. It doesn't necessarily mean the circumstances all have to be great and joyful and peaceful. It could be hard and trying right now in a testing time. But we need the presence of God, that shepherd to lead and guide us through that time. That is where our life and our strength and our trust needs to all be dependent upon, is that shepherd. You know, David was in agony if he was away from that presence. I mean, I love Psalm 42. "As a deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you." You know, Psalm 63, "I earnestly seek you." You know, "My soul longs for you." Have he ever felt like moments where that was being kind of an experience drifting away, or there just seems like God is absent? He would cry out like this with earnestness, like, "God, I have to have you. I cannot lose you or your presence. This is my life force." And so for us this morning, just a couple questions to leave you with, you know, just to get practical again on his leading and our following. Because again, the Lord is my shepherd. He is leading us today. He's going to lead you this week. And so our following, our response to his leading is a big deal. We can be a sheep that just ignores all that and just walks off. And it will not be to your benefit. It'll be to your struggle. To be a sheep that is led by the shepherd into pastures, into rest, into, you know, restored places, and even through risky places, right, in the valley of shadow death, and to just be feasting and cared for by him and anointed, right? And then just finding goodness and mercy. This is the heart of the shepherd for you this morning. How are you living out obedience to his leading these days? How are you living out in a responsiveness, in an obedient way? Are you listening and following where he's telling you to go? What he's telling you to do? You know, obedience to God and His Word is to be trusted over our compulsions. You know, our sin compulsions are always like, I know what's best for me. I know what's right for me. I'm just going to do this. I deserve that. Again, it's a lot of it selfish gain there, or self-focused, okay? But our compulsions are so often that way. The shepherd's voice needs to be trusted. He needs to be trusted. He's leading us to good and mercy. So if he is guiding and trying to rope us back in, or, you know, here's the path, stay on the path, how are we doing in our obedience, okay, under his leading? That's a question to sit in this week. You know, maybe come up with some specifics for you. What are some things that you've heard from the Lord kind of guiding you to do that you've responded to? You know, that's good. If you can find some of those things, that's good. That's a good reminder to your heart that you're walking in his leading, okay? But if we're struggling to find those things, maybe there's areas where we've been disobedient or we're delaying our obedience. I just still haven't done anything with it yet. You know, is there something God's maybe asking of you to give up? Or is there something he's asking you to step up into and start doing? You know, these are just ways to explore that area of obedience. And then lastly, how are you daily orienting yourself around the presence of God? Again, I just think that one of the beautiful things for us this morning is to realize the importance of the presence of God and all that comes with it in his shepherding and his leading of us. And so to soak up the word this morning like we're doing right now, we've just been feasting on six verses, you know. We're soaking up the word of God and the ways that he's speaking and leading to us. And so are we finding that in our daily times? You know, are you orienting your life around the word of God? Are you finding times and spaces to pray, even creating space for God to hear from him in this crazy-paced world? Are you being mindful, just considering the ways that he's moving in your life, the ways that he's speaking to you? You know, are you paying attention at all? Do you want to know what God has to say to you this week, today? He wants to do that and shepherd you. So let's allow him to shepherd our hearts. I mean, these are just two aspects to me. Walk away, but go back through that psalm, and there's so many things that he is leading us in. And begin to just follow him into those places and walk in that rhythm of oneness with him. Amen? Let me pray for us. So Jesus, we thank you for, again, your finished work that we celebrate. So much of this becoming so true for us because you have made it possible. You made it possible by bridging that gap to allow us to have the fullness of God dwelling in us through the Holy Spirit. Unbelievable. In the ways that the shepherd David here was experiencing you and your lordship over his life, that he would depend. I mean, even when he was being told by his men under him, "Oh, kill Saul. He's God's putting him into your hand." You were like, "No, the Lord has anointed him, and I am not laying a hand on him." Just how you would lead him in moments, and he knew this. He knew how to hear from you, where to turn, where to go, when to attack, when not to attack. It was beautiful of the ways that he was following under your shepherding. And for us this morning, what are you speaking to us? What are the ways that we need to be obedient and following your voice? How can we draw just so much strength and encouragement this week by going to restful places and feasting in your presence and experiencing your goodness and mercy? We love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your such deep care in the ways that you lead and guide through this idea of a shepherd in our life. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.